Much can be learned about a person by their prayer life and by their prayers. Could we say also that much is learned about a church by how they pray? The amount of time they spend in prayer. The kind of prayers being prayed. The answers to prayer they are experiencing all reveal a great deal about that person or that church. You know, prayer is such an important ingredient of the believer and a local church. You study the book of Acts, it was just the central part of their life was the local church, was prayer, being together in prayer. And let's not forget that here tonight, the importance of prayer. You know, it's easy to get consumed with the busyness of life and all the things that consume our time. But let's not lose the value and the importance that prayer ought to have in our life as believers. We're here on a Wednesday night, and rightly so, we spend a good deal of this evening in prayer. And prayer is an important thing, and we ought not to forget the important factor that ought to be in our church. A church is going to die if that prayer is not a vital and central part of the church. You see, our effectiveness and power hinges on our prayer life, whether as individuals or as a body of believers. Our prayer is a determining factor in what God accomplishes in our church and in our lives. As we think of this matter of prayer tonight, I want to ask you two questions that should guide you in your prayer life. Two questions that should guide you in your prayer life. First of all, what kind of attitude do you have when you pray? How do you view prayer? What's your attitude when you go to the Lord in prayer? You see, is it a flippant, careless attitude? You know, tonight when we go to prayer, is it just going to be because that's what we do on Wednesday night? When we pray at home as a family or at the dinner table or, you know, whenever we may pray, is there a flippancy or a carelessness that kind of runs through our prayer? You see, we need to have the right attitude as we approach prayer. And tonight I want to ask you that question. What kind of attitude do you have when you approach prayer, when you go to prayer, when you pray? I want us to note a few attitudes the Word of God explains that should accompany prayer. And tonight, as we go to prayer, let's put these to practice. Some things that should accompany our prayer life, whether that's as an individual, as a corporate body. The first thing we need to have, the first kind of attitude, is an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. An attitude of praise and thanksgiving. We just heard the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Boy, we have so many things to be thankful for, don't we? We could all just give a list, a huge list of things that we have to be thankful for. In fact, everything that God puts into our life, we ought to be thankful for it. We ought to have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving that ought to pervade our prayer. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34, and all throughout the book of Psalm, we see this proven, the fact that we ought to have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. But Psalm chapter 34, look at verse 1 there. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You think that ought to be a central part of our prayer life? Is praise. Yes, it ought to be. It says, shall continually be in my mouth. Have you been praising the Lord today? When things went wrong, or when things didn't go the way you thought they should have, did you praise the Lord? Was that your attitude throughout this day, that of praise? Well, when we go to prayer, that ought to be a central part, an attitude of our prayer. Is an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Your prayers, as an individual, as a group, when we pray here tonight, praise the Lord. Thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him for the blessings that He bestows in our life. We could see this also in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and this is really the model prayer demonstrated. And I think through the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, we see this truth of having that attitude of praise and thanksgiving. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That word hallowed has the idea of to treat as holy, to reverence. And because of who He is, because of God's greatness, His holiness, and the reverence that He deserves, we ought to give Him glory and praise. It's the idea, the one to whom all the glory and praise of the world is due. This phrase, that word hallowed, has the idea, carries the idea of praise because of His greatness, because God is who He is, because He's holy, He deserves our praise and thanksgiving. So an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. We have a lot to thank God for. We have a lot to praise Him for. And that ought to be a central part of our prayers, is that attitude of praise and thanksgiving. You know, if we're being selfish in our prayers, it's going to be hard to praise God. It's going to be hard to give Him the glory and the praise that He deserves. So your prayers, they need to be centered on this attitude of praise and thanksgiving. Another attitude that ought to be a part and accompany our prayer is an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. We're right there in Matthew chapter 6. Let's look back at verse number 6. And I think we'll very clearly see this here, that prayer ought to have an attitude of humility. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Now, those verses there are contrasted with the person in verse number 5. It says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Their reward is in the glory of man. You see, we ought to have a spirit of humility, an attitude of humility as we pray, because it's not about what other people say and how they view us. It's about our relationship with God and how and that humility before Him. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And look at verse 15. An attitude of humility. Isaiah 57, verse 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Who does He dwell with? The person that's humble, that has a contrite heart, that's humble before God. You see, why is it so important that we're humble when we pray? Well, it's first of all, it's the idea of who we're praying to. You know, we're not talking to just another man. We're talking to God. That's why, like in Matthew chapter 6, where we looked at the model prayer, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven," it gives the idea that we're here and He's in heaven. We're praying to God of heaven, the Creator of the universe. And we need to have a humble spirit as we come to Him because of who He is. That's who we are praying to. It's also the idea that, you know, we can't answer that prayer by ourselves. We can't live in, we need His power, His strength. These prayer requests that we have, God has to do them. We cannot do it without Him. So that's why we need humility. It's a beautiful picture of humility is shown even by the aspect of bowing before the Lord, bending our knees, that brokenness, the idea of humility before the Lord. I want to just show one other place in the Word of God where we see this, in Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, we see the idea of humility accompanying our prayer. Test your knowledge of where the books of the Bible are by telling you to turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, and look at verse 4. It's chapter 3. It's that new Bible I'm using. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands.'" You see, God doesn't, pride does not please God in any way. And so as we come to the Lord in prayer, there ought to be an attitude of humility that accompanies our prayer. Now tonight, when we go to prayer, are you going to demonstrate that? A spirit of humility. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we're in a desperate situation. Lord, these needs, these burdens that are upon our hearts, these lost souls, God, only you can bring them. Only you can save them. There ought to be an attitude of humility. A third attitude that ought to accompany us when accompany our prayer is an attitude of desperation. An attitude of desperation, that idea of a sense of need, a burden on our heart. And we are coming before God because we know that He can answer it. And we're seeking Him. We see it right here in Jonah, that attitude of desperation. They wanted to be spared from destruction. They were going to be destroyed, if they didn't turn from their evil ways, if they didn't turn to the Lord. And there was that attitude of desperation. The king, he made that decree throughout the land. They weren't supposed to eat. They weren't supposed to drink anything. They put on those sackcloth and ashes out of desperation. I wonder the burdens on your heart, the desire you have for a soul to be saved. How desperate are you? As a church, how desperate are we? And is this attitude shown through our prayer? Maybe there's a need in your family, like in your family, a child. Do you see is there an attitude of desperation in your prayer life? I want to look at 2 Corinthians. You can turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we have a good example here of this idea of desperation through the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 And look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That word in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. The idea of asking, of entreating His Heavenly Father to take this thing away. And obviously, it wasn't God's will for it to be taken away. But He sought the Lord. He besought Him. That idea of pleading, of asking and entreating God out of desperation to take this thing away. Do we have that same kind of attitude in our prayer life of desperation before God? Now, the second question I want to ask you here tonight is, what kind of commitment do you have to prayer? We looked at what kind of attitude do you have towards prayer. I want us to ask a second question, what kind of commitment do you have to prayer? First of all, there ought to be a commitment to prayer itself. A commitment to prayer itself. We ought to have that kind of faith that we believe God answers prayer. That we can go to God in prayer and believe and have that kind of faith that He answers prayer. There ought to be a commitment to prayer itself. The fact is, many times we do not pray because we just simply don't believe. We just simply don't want to put that burden, give that burden, that care, that request to the Lord. So there needs to be that kind of commitment just to prayer. You know, what kind of part does prayer have in your life? Is it just when you come to church on Wednesday night? Is it just when you're in a real tough situation that you remember to pray? No, prayer ought to be just as natural as our breath. It ought to be such an integral part of us. And where there needs to be that commitment to us. Many times we do not pray, set time aside for prayer, because we just don't want to sacrifice the temporal for that which is spiritual. You know, many of us just simply do not pray. We just simply don't pray. And if we would be praying, we would be seeing God do great things. If we, the fact is, we miss out on a lot because we simply don't pray. We miss out on seeing God answer prayer and doing miracles because we don't pray. And you know, it's challenge just to set time aside to pray because we think of all the other things that we need to do. When in reality, that has far more weight and value to it. And we need to get our mind off of a temporal mindset and think about the things that are going to last, the things that have eternal value in our life. You know what, if we were to spend time in prayer like we ought, That is something that's going to have an eternal impact. That's something that's going to change our family. That's something that will have an impact upon your children. You know, the what we spend our time in reveals a lot about us. And the time we spend in prayer will speak, whether it's a very little or a great amount, reveals a lot about us. So, a commitment to prayer itself. There should be a commitment to prayer, or a commitment to prayer reveals a confidence in prayer. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And a wonderful couple verses here of Scripture that ought to be familiar to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. As we are committed to prayer, it reveals in that person a confidence in prayer. And this is the confidence, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Those are great verses right there. That ought to stir us. That ought to give us that desire to be committed to prayer. You know, those ought to change our prayer life. When we go to prayer, we're not just praying through a prayer list. We're not just mentioning things that were mentioned here tonight. No, we are praying to God. We are praying and expecting Him to answer prayer. And we can have that kind of confidence, as it says here in the Word of God. Confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. You know, that ought to change our prayer group time. You know, if our prayer group times are just kind of dead and don't really accomplish anything, that ought to be a reproach to us. You see, the Word of God tells us everything we need to know that prayer is a powerful thing that we can experience and see God do great and mighty things through it. And our prayer times ought to be alive. There ought to be a confidence in our prayers. There ought to be expectation. There ought to be a sense of faith through our prayers. Tonight, when we go to prayer, don't let your prayer time just be dead and empty, so to speak. There's no excuse that our prayer times can be filled with God's presence and with Him working during our time. You know what? If just simply praying around, if that's what you're doing and it's not accomplishing much, well then, how about letting the Spirit of God lead you and pray? You know, just praying through a list doesn't always have meaning if we're not truly meeting with God. And our prayer times ought to be alive. They ought to be, we ought to sense God's presence during those times. Our time here on Wednesday night prayer, our men's prayer meeting, boy, we shouldn't go through one prayer meeting without sensing and seeing God working and convincing us of answered prayer during those times. So a commitment to prayer itself. We also see the things that we should be committed to praying for. And there could be a whole list of things that we see here. But, you know, what's the main thing that ought to be on our prayer list? How committed are we to praying for souls? Committed to praying for souls. You know, the Great Commission is what God has given to us. And as believers, souls ought to be a priority in our life. And praying for their salvation ought to be a priority. At work, those co-workers ought to be praying for them. Those co-workers that you interact with each day, they ought to be prayed for. That God would give you boldness and power to speak to them and to give the gospel and that they would receive it. You know, throughout the day, we ought to be praying for souls that God gives us opportunity to witness to. You know, the times of prayer, whether that's here on Wednesday night, on Saturday, our prayer time, or at home, you know, there ought to be time spent for souls. You know, I wonder if we were to think about it in this way, as God listening to our prayers here tonight, what is He going to hear? What kind of prayers is He hearing? Is He hearing the prayers and the cries for souls to be saved? That will get His attention, let me tell you, if we're focused and committed to praying for souls. Another thing is committed to praying for power and boldness. You know, in your personal life, are you seeing God use you? Is God giving you that boldness, that power to speak to lost souls that you come in contact with? Your life is going to be, spiritually, it's going to be lacking if it is not centered on winning lost souls. If your life is not committed to being a witness, if it's not committed to praying and being consumed with seeing a person saved, your life, your spiritual life is going to be lacking. There's no doubt about it. And the devil is going to get in and destroy because if we do not have that commitment to praying for souls and reaching lost souls. If we were to take some time here and look through the book of Acts, we would see how committed they were to praying for souls and for power and for boldness. It was such a central part of that New Testament church. And may that be the case with our church here tonight, that we are praying for those things. So tonight, what's your attitude towards prayer? As in a moment we spend time in prayer, do you have the right kind of attitude of praise and thanksgiving, an attitude of humility, an attitude of desperation? Boy, we need God to work in our church, on the Lord's Day, in the people that we are seeking to reach. We need to have that attitude of desperation. What kind of commitment do you have here to prayer? Maybe you need to recommit yourself to being a person of prayer, and even setting aside a time to pray. You know, is prayer a central part of your life? How much time, even today, did you spend in prayer? May we tonight be stirred to pray. That's my desire here, is that we'd be stirred to pray, that as we go to prayer, we can go expecting God to meet with us, expecting God to answer prayer. And maybe tonight we need to change our thinking about some things of prayer. You know, that attitudes we ought to have, the things that we need to be committed to about prayer. And maybe we need to change our thinking about prayer. Prayer is such an important part, ought to be, of our church. And I trust that God will continue to give us as a body a sense and a burden for prayer. Because that is how we are going to move forward. That's how God is going to continue to work. That's how we are going to see souls saved. How we're going to see answers to prayer is by prayer. And let me encourage you in your personal life to commit to prayer, to be a person of prayer, to spend that time that's needed in prayer. And we all fall short. But my, what things we could be seeing God do if we spent that time in prayer. As a church, let's be committed to prayer. And even tonight as we go, may we have that kind of confidence that the Word of God gives us a platform to have. That if we ask, if we pray in faith, we can have confidence that He will answer our prayers. Let's pray. Oh Lord, this is such a great, expansive subject that even tonight, Lord, we have touched very little on. But God, would You, by Your Spirit, work in the hearts of each person that's here. And Lord, only spiritual people that are truly spending that time in prayer really have that understanding of what prayer is. And may You give each one of us that, even a deeper, fuller knowledge and understanding of prayer. And Lord, in our humanness, we are very limited in our understanding, but God, would you help give us that fuller understanding that we need. And tonight, Lord, it's very simple, but as we go to prayer, would we have that confidence? Would we have the right kind of attitude and the faith to believe that prayer works? That You do answer prayer. And so, Lord, if need be, would You change our thinking about prayer? Would You change even our attitude? Lord, may it not just be a ritual. May it not just be something that we do on Wednesday night, but truly a time where we meet with You. And so, Lord, we ask even now for Your presence during our prayer times, during our different prayer groups. And may You lead us, Lord. May we be filled with Your Spirit even as we pray. And thank You, Lord, for the Word of God and for the truths that You've allowed us to see here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's take these truths to heart.